This is Gary Carpenter. I thought I'd introduce this lesson by letting you know it's going to sound a little different than many of the recordings you hear at the website. Usually I teach in a church that has a nursery. This meeting that we recently did in Chicago is a home meeting, and we had several babies and young children there. They just had a delightful time, and we thoroughly enjoyed them, but you can hear them playing in the background. Yet the sound of my voice is pretty strong. I believe the teaching will be a blessing to you. So, without further ado, let's begin this study on how to measure God's Word. You can open up to John chapter 1. We're going to kind of be a Bible drill night tonight. We're going to be, everyone kind of do like this. You can get your fingers really, you know, we're going to be looking at some scripture. And this is a simple message. But if you can get hold of it, it will change not only your life, but anyone that you can persuade to do it. God is not a respecter of persons. What He does for one, He does for all. He doesn't have favorites except for me. I am His favorite. Well, you are too. Okay, you are too. All right. Oh, okay. John. Big John. Gospel of John. I call John the New Testament Genesis. You know, in Genesis, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Notice here, in the beginning. In the beginning, before there was any beginning. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. Notice, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. God and His Word are one. God, we're told all through the Bible, is only one God. How many agree with that? There's one God. Yet an infinite God trying to reveal Himself to a finite people. He presents Himself to us as a three-part person. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Well, here, for sure, it's talking about what we call the second member of the Godhead. Because here, a little further way down, it says that the Word was made flesh. In verse 14, this same Word talking about here in verses 1 and 2, it says, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So this is the second member of the Godhead, the Word. And I want you to notice there was nothing made. Look at this verse 3. All things were made by Him. Him who? Jesus. Him, the Word. All things were made by Him, or by the Word. And without Him was not anything made that was made. And in the Greek language, there's actually a pigtail on there, and it says, no, not one single thing. You've got to understand that God works in the earth one way. He works with His Word. He works with His Word. Now turn over to Mark 4. I told you we're going to kind of be doing a Bible study. Go to Mark 4. Everyone says, oh no, not Mark 4. I know Mark 4 by heart. Well, Jesus did say, if you don't understand this parable, how will you understand all parables? This is the foundational principle of the kingdom of God. This is how the Word works. But most people stop before, to me, what is the most important part of this teaching. So let's read it. I know you know it probably by heart. And we'll read the explanation. It's starting in verse 13, Mark 4:13. He said unto them, know you not this parable? And how then will you know all parables? The sower sows the word. These are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These are they likewise. Oh, by the way, Sue likes to point out, does it say Satan comes in 2 weeks? Before you get home tonight from this service, the enemy will do everything he can to remove it from your heart so that you never act on it, you never change. It's just another nice little Bible study where you met some new people. Satan comes how soon? immediately. Don't forget that. All right. These are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. These are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. So, well, I've heard that so many times, Gary. How many wants to be the thorny ground? I never get anybody raise their hand. How many wants to be stony ground? Nobody. How many wants to be the good ground? Well, everybody's hand always goes up, you know. But really, the key to that, how you be good ground. See, if you're really born again, you're good ground. Amen. The soil in you is of God. That spirit that He put on inside of you when you got born again is birthed of God Himself. There's a nature that, I like to say it this way, there is a holy of holies on the inside of you. Created by God when you were born again. You couldn't do it. Man couldn't do it. God Himself had to come in there and regenerate a spirit on the inside of you. And that spirit, Ephesians will tell you, it says, created in righteousness and true holiness. Look at somebody and say, I got a holy of holies in me. God can live there. Say that. Say, God can live there. There you go. That's better. God does live there. Good for you. You guys have been pretty well taught. Okay. Well, He does live there. So the question is, how much, if we're walking around with God on the inside, then why don't we see more 30, 60, and 100-fold fruit? What's going on? It's not, how many of you think the problem is with God? Okay, good. All right. Now notice, verse 21. He said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed and not to be set on a candlestick? In other words, he lit your candle. You know, in Proverbs it says, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Remember that? The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Trouble is, when Adam sinned, that candle went out. It became dark. We became something other than what God originally created, sinful and tendencies toward pride and arrogance and unselfishness and all those things. But see, what He's talking about here is twofold. He's talking about sowing the Word into you, but He is the Word. And God has sown the Word back into the earth. And those that receive Him, their candle is lit again. When you got reborn, your candle was lit. There's a light on the inside of you. And God doesn't intend for us to... It's fine to get together down in the basement to teach. But God doesn't want our light hidden away from the world. He wants us to be bright and shining and bringing the light of the gospel everywhere that we go. Hallelujah. So, verse 22, for there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Now, I really went through all of that to get to verses 24 and 25. This is how you become better ground. Let me say it another way. This is how the Word becomes more fruitful in your life. Not only for you personally, maybe you're a person that needs healing. Maybe you're... You know, some people seem to receive the blessings of God in different areas. I know some people that are just healed, they're just healthy, and they're just always that way, but they struggle financially all the time. I know others who struggle, you know, maybe they've got finances all the time, but maybe they struggle with healing, or they'll struggle with their marriage, or there's all kinds of things. Yet God's Word covers everything. There is nothing you need. That's not in God's Word. He has made full provision for each and every one of us. So how do we get that active in our life? And the answer is in verses 24 and 25. And for a love offering of $19.95. And I won't give it to you free. This is how any one of us, and I don't care if you've been with the Lord 5 days, 5 years, 50 years. I don't care if you're a worldwide preacher or mama taking care of the kids at home. You can get God's Word to be more productive in your life if you can apply verses 24 and 25. He says, take heed what you hear with what measure you meet. Now that's a little King Jamesy for us. With the measure you give the Word. Okay, God's sown the Word. With the measure that you give it, it shall be measured to you. Unto you that hear shall more be given. Now he goes on here for their benefit. Now, I didn't know what verse 25 meant for years. He says, for he that hath, to him shall be given. He that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. Boy, for years, I mean, when I say years, maybe 20. You know, and I'd read commentaries, which I don't recommend commentaries too much, and I'd read books, and I'd, you know, hear people teach on that verse. And it's not that it was horrible, you know, but there's always something down, way down in your spirit still itching, you know. There's something more to that. What does he mean? Even what they hath will be taken away. In the context, you've got to remember who the audience here. In this audience is not only people that we would call disciples. They're also the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and they were the stewards of the old covenant in that day. And he is presenting to them the kingdom of God. He is presenting, he's introducing his ministry as Messiah. This old covenant that is active and that they are the stewards of at this moment. That's true. That covenant was in force. But if they don't give ear to what he is saying, and if they don't follow him into the new covenant, Hebrews plainly tells you, the first was taken away that he may establish the second. He's talking about the change of covenant here. Amen. He said, if you'll listen to me, take heed what I'm teaching you, you're going to receive more than you ever had under that old covenant. Yeah. Remember what he said about John the Baptist? He says, among women, there has never arisen a greater than John the Baptist. I mean, that's pretty good company. Moses, Abraham, Elijah. He says, born of women, there has not arisen a greater than John the Baptist. But the least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. Why? John the Baptist in his earthly ministry never had the opportunity to be born again. He never got to go into this new covenant. Jesus says, if you have ears to hear, you're going to go into something far better than what you have now. Much better to be a child of God. I'd rather be the little toe on the body of Christ in the kingdom of God than be the greatest prophet that ever was under that old covenant that's been done away. Amen? Amen? But verse 24 is our key. With the measure that you hear. Now let's talk about, I want to talk about two levels of the Word of God tonight. First off, there's the what we call the Logos, the Bible. For those of you that can't see, this will probably go on the internet. I'm holding up the Bible. The promises of God that are in here, I call these His Word to everybody. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Is that not a word to everybody? Everybody can be saved. By His stripes, ye were healed. That's a promise to everybody, isn't that right? But see, not everybody, though, is called to be a pastor. Not everybody's called to be a teacher in the body. There's all kinds of callings. So you have His general word to all of us. Okay? Then you have His specific word. So you might call it, some might call it a rhema word, where He talks to you individually. See, growing up the way I did, once I really obeyed God and followed Him into the ministry, I just assumed, because of my personality and just the way that I am, that I'd be a pastor of a church someday. I just assumed that, you know, and I think most people would have thought that. But as I got to know the voice of the Holy Ghost over time, I received a word from Him. And He just plainly told me, He says, the Holy Spirit talking with, He says, He, meaning the Lord, has not called you to pastor, and He never will. Now what's the next question? What am I then? What has He called you? And He told me that day, just I heard His voice as clear as you're hearing my voice. He says, He has called you to be a teacher in the body of Christ. That is where your provision is. That is where your anointing is. I knew from that point on, I'm not going to pastor a big church somewhere or a little church somewhere. And that doesn't mean I couldn't fill in for a pastor while they're gone or something like that. But it's over the years, now we've been at this a long time, over the years, haven't we, Sue? We've received, I don't know how many prophecies, well-meaning people. They love the Lord. Yeah, yeah. You know, you always know it. Yeah, yeah. Oh, I see it, my brother. I see it. You're going to pastor a mighty church, and I see all the people, and oh, the glory of God, or whatever they said, you know. And you know, we don't ever embarrass anybody. They mean well, and we say, oh, well, thank you, precious. You know, we thank you, thank you. Keep praying, because I already know. See. And it's wonderful when you start hearing God on that basis. But what I'm trying to talk about, there is God's general word to everybody. Then there is God's specific word to us as individuals. You need to follow Him yourself. You've got to find what He called you to do. And you don't really need somebody else. I mean, somebody else can prophesy that to you. I mean, that's one way that it functions. But we're going to look at that in a little bit too. But God's best, you know, He has a voice. Did you know you have spiritual ears? You know Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." That's a real good confession. Now, getting back to the subject at hand here, I want you to notice verse 24. Take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, with the value you place, with the importance you place upon that word, whether it's the general word or a specific word to you. That's it. You will receive from God exactly in the measure that you give His Word. Now let me show you an example from the Word. Go to Luke chapter 1. We're going to look at two different individuals. See, it's one thing to get a word by prophecy from somebody. It's another thing to get just read the Word and see what it says. How many of you think, though, that if an angel of God named Gabriel walked through the wall and brought you a word, how do you think you would measure that? We're going to look at two individuals that literally happened to. Gabriel entered into the room and brought them the Word of God. And you already know the story, but so let me do a little preamble here so you can be looking at it. We're talking about John the Baptist being born. This angel talked to his daddy. And also Jesus being born to Mary. Gabriel appeared to both of them and brought them a word. That's important, just that alone. Elizabeth, which was John's mother, didn't just wake up one day pregnant. Mary didn't just wake up one day pregnant. God sent His Word first. God works in the earth through His Word. Do you hear that? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. There was not one single thing made without the Word. No, not one single thing. God works in the earth through His Word. So let's read this now. And we got time. I'm just going to read the story. We don't read this part very often. You know, usually just at Christmas time or something. So let's pick it up in verse 5, Luke chapter 1. It said, "There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias, of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron. Her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren. And they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God, in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him..." Now put yourself in this. "There appeared unto him an angel of the Lord, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. When Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, 'Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. He shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, and that's really Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Now that's quite a word, isn't it? Isn't that quite a word from God? You think this is John the Baptist, is his birth important to God's plan? I mean, this is very important. So here comes the angel, and he brings this word, and it is spoken in the earth. It is spoken unto Zacharias. Now, Zacharias said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? This is, at first glance, we're going to look at Mary in a little bit. She asked a question that at first I thought it was kind of the same question. Hers is not the same question. She was asking how. What he's asking here is, how can I know you're telling me the truth? Whereby shall I know this? And now, the angel, you can tell the angel by his response, hey, I'm Gabriel. Notice this. Zechariah said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I'm an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. He's thinking totally in the natural. In the natural, I mean, he is a descendant of Abraham. Doesn't he remember the story? You know? Abraham was, 100, and Sarah was about 90, if I remember right. You know, and it says it was past the time of the way of women with her. And we know he wasn't such a hot rod anymore either, because when God said, you know, about this time next year you're going to have a baby, she laughed. And she said, shall I have pleasure from my husband again? Okay. He's not such a hot rod either at that point, you know, so. What, he doesn't remember? He says, well, how am I going to know this? See how it's worded? No, how do I know this? Look what the angel says. The angel said unto him, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I am sent to... He sent me to speak unto thee and to show these glad tidings. Now notice what the angel does. This is so amazing. I'm going to ask you again. Is John the Baptist's birth, is that important? Well, let's say it this way. Is his conception important to the plan of God? Absolutely it is. This has to happen. All right? Notice what the angel does. Because of what Zechariah said, behold, the angel says, thou shalt be dumb. Now, he doesn't mean stupid. He means unable to speak. Thou shalt be dumb, not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed. And why did the angel do that? Because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. Now, why didn't he render him unconscious? Why didn't he make him blind? Why didn't he wither a leg? You know, why didn't he change a hand to leprosy? I could go through all of these different things that we've seen happen. Why in the world did he shut his mouth? Because God works in the earth one way. He works with words. And you can tell that angel he saw right away that this man was full of unbelief. And if he was allowed to speak, he would be speaking opposite to God's word. Thank God none of us ever do that. Oh, okay. All right. I thought I was in the right group here. That's why he did it. Of all the things that angel could have done in order to make sure that this came to pass, he said, I'm going to shut your mouth. Because you're in unbelief, and I know if you're allowed to talk, you'll be speaking against this, and this is too important. This has to come to pass. So you're just going to not be able to say anything. So now, Zacharias, now he cannot speak against it anymore. God's word is going to have free course. I'd love to read all the rest of this. Let's see. Yeah, we're going to, because we get right into the angel pretty quick. So verse 21. And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. I've always tried, you know, we make this, we remove it too much from our real life. What would you be like if you'd been in there and seen an angel? they're going, okay, he saw something. No. But he can't speak. He can't speak, see? Okay. Verse 23. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. And in the 6th month, the angel Gabriel, the same angel, was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. Now here we go again. Now the angel starts giving her a word from God. Same angel. The angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? See, she's asking how. She's not saying, how do I know you're telling me the truth? She didn't say that at all. She just said how. You know, I have found out over the years, when the Holy Spirit, when he brings you a message from God, an assignment from God, now he doesn't give you every single detail from the beginning to the end, but he does give you every detail you need to know for your next step. I've only found one way to follow God, one step at a time. But he will, if you don't know how to take that step, he will tell you the how, he will tell you the who, he will tell you the what, he will give you the information that you need to know to take that next step. Once you've taken it and finished that step, he'll give you what you need for the next one. Then he'll give you what you need for the next one. She's just asking how. And the Holy, notice, he has no trouble telling her how. This is an unbelief. She's not saying, how do I know you're telling me the truth? I just want to know how this is going to happen. So, then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she also hath conceived a son in her old age, and this is the 6th month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Now the reason that I love that verse, but you know that verse is even better than that, and I brought the Amplified Bible here. The Amplified Bible does just that. It brings out nuances from the Greek that sometimes is lost in our English translation. But what Mary heard when that angel said that, in the Greek it says, verse 37, for with God nothing is ever impossible, and no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Not anything was made without Him. No, not one single thing. Every word from God is alive. For the word of God is alive. It's quick. It's alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, even able to divide asunder between soul and spirit. That Word of God in the Word itself is life. What's amazing, though, that life is only activated through faith. In America, everyone has a Bible in the house, usually have 4 or 5 translations laying around. Maybe, you know, when I grew up on Grandma's coffee table, there was always that big, thick, white Bible that has all the marriages and everything, you know, weddings and anniversaries and all. Every promise of God is in that Bible. But if it's not mixed with faith, nothing ever happens. You could have two people two lost people sitting in a good old Baptist congregation, you know, and they're going to preach the cross, you know, and they preach Christ crucified, and at the end they give an altar call. Both men hear the same word. They hear the same truth. The power of God to save is in those very words. One of them measures it. Yeah, that's nice. He doesn't act on it during the altar call. He doesn't go forward. He doesn't receive that word. He doesn't act on that word. And he leaves just the same way he came. The other man heard exactly the same word. The measure that he gave it said, this is truth. That's what happened with Sue and I 30 some odd years ago. With this is truth. We're lost. We acted on the word of God. We confessed our sins, received Jesus as our Savior. And we were born again by that very power. That possible, that life-changing power that's resident in the Word of God itself. Now, the next thing Mary says, Mary said, verse 38, she said, she listened to all of this. She said, behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. You never heard a better sermon than that right there. Whatever problems you're facing in life, you need to go to the Word of God. First, it could be just the general Word of God. Just maybe you need healing. Maybe you need salvation. Maybe one time we have three daughters, and they're only 2 years apart. So all three daughters were teenagers at the same time. Pray for any family that has three teenage daughters, okay? And they all went into rebellion about the same time. They're all in their teenage years, and they're out doing things and stuff that, you know, just scare a parent to death, you know. And they just went, and it's not that they had, you know, we had sown the word into them. But, you know, the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. They weren't old yet, trust me. Now, they all came back later. But at the time, we didn't know what to do, you know. Because the devil kept defeating me, saying, they know better than this. They're choosing this. They're choosing the world. And I'm going, no, we'd, you know. Well, God gave us His Word. We found a promise, even under the old covenant, that said, shall the prey of the terrible be delivered? I will contend with him that contends with thee, and I will save thy children. That verse leaped out at us. I mean, we're going, that's our promise. That's our word right there. To us, I mean, I know it's in the Bible, but we claim that as our own verse. We said, God, there it is right there. You will contend with him that's contending with us. You will save our children. Boy, from that day on, we got our words in line with what that says. People would say, pick one. How's Angie doing? And I knew Angie was out carousing. Let me just say it that way. That's a nice word. Carousing. Okay? I knew. But right then, you say, well, how are they doing? Our daughters are the handmaidens of the Lord. They serve the Lord their God. They prophesy. They speak only the truth. They serve God. They walk with God. They're anointed. However long you wanted to stand there, we'd keep giving you that kind of a testimony, you know. And we knew that they was out drinking and messing and drugging and whatever, you know, doing whatever they was doing. But we had already received our word, and I didn't want Gabriel to have to come and shut my mouth. We had learned a few things. If you want God's Word to come to pass, you've got to get your mouth in line with His Word. Why else would Gabriel shut his mouth? To me, it's about half the church needs to have their mouth shut. You know, we'll try and counsel them, you know, and they're wanting to believe for their marriage, or they're wanting to believe for the healing, or whatever it is. And we get with them. And you could spend 2 hours. And maybe you'll hear one little verse, you know, and then for the next 1 hour and 58 minutes, they're telling you how their lives are all destroyed and rotten, how everything's bad and it's all deceitful. And by the time they leave, we even wonder if we're saved. You know, dear God. I mean, they don't say anything in line with the Word of God. Then they wonder why their life's being destroyed. It won't come to pass. That's why Gabriel had to shut his mouth. How you measure the Word. Say it to somebody. With the measure I meet, that's the measure I receive. How important I esteem God's Word. That has everything to do with my blessings. Amen. Amen. Anyway, let me finish the story. Well, it didn't happen overnight. This struggle with the girls all went on for maybe a year and a half to 2 years. But I want you to know, bam, 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 each and every one of them came back to the Lord. All three of them worked with us in the ministry for years. Now they're saved, raising up godly seed, our grandchildren, you know. God's Word can be trusted. God's Word is powerful. And this Word is this Word that I'm holding up in my hands again, this Word is for you. It doesn't matter. It does, you know, if you need healing, if you need peace, if you need love, if you need joy, whatever it is, there. How did Peter say it? We have received these exceeding great and precious promises that we may be partakers of the divine nature. Glory to God. Well, if you're going to... Zacharias received a precious promise of God. But he didn't believe it. And he was going to speak opposite to it. And that the angel knows how this works. He says, I've got to shut your mouth. If you're allowed to speak, that word will not come to pass. Because he was going to speak opposite. Okay, we looked at the second beginning. Let's look at the first beginning. Go to Genesis 1. When we finish with Revelations, we'll end the service tonight. And oh, well, maybe a little before then. Okay. Genesis 1. I'll tell you, this was a wake-up call for Gary Carpenter. When the Holy Ghost gave me this lesson, it changed how I speak forever. So Genesis 1:1, is that early enough? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Now in the Hebrew, by the way, it actually says, and God said, light be. And light was. Mm. Now, what's amazing about this verse right here, this passage, is verse 2. Okay, we got God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They're not diminished. It's not God the Father, then below Him God the Son, then below Him God the Holy Ghost. No, they're all three God. They're all three one. If we think about that too much, I'm an engineer, but if I think about that too much, my brain starts leaking out my left ear, okay? You know, but this is how God has chosen to reveal Himself to us. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Well, we read over in John, nothing was created without the Word. Yet, the member of the Godhead that we're told is here is the Holy Spirit. Now, is the Holy Spirit God? Is the Holy Spirit all-knowing? I like to call Him the molecule changer. You know, Jesus said, He says, if I cast out spirits by the finger of God, and another time He says, if I cast out spirits by the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit, He is the actual molecule changer. He's the one that moves. You know, for light to be, He manifested that light. So here's God the Holy Spirit. He's just as much God as God the Father or God the Son. Does that mean He's all-knowing? I think so. So, the moment that God the Father wants light, doesn't the Holy Spirit know that? And the Holy Spirit is the one that's there. He has that ability to create light at any moment. He's there. He knows the Father wants light. He's able to produce light. But He's waiting on something. He's not doing anything. Something has to happen first. And there it is. Verse 3. And God said. Which member of the Godhead is that? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Nothing was made without Him. Him, the Word. That's the second member of the Godhead. God the Father conceives it. God the Son speaks it. And the Holy Spirit performs it. And I saw that. And I said, I'm seeing this scenario. God the Father wanted light. The Holy Spirit was there to produce light. But He wasn't doing anything. Sounded like my life a lot. I know the Father loves me. I know the Father wants to bless me. I would read all these promises in here about the blessings of God. But it didn't seem like... And I knew the Holy... I've received the Holy Spirit. I knew the Holy Spirit was with me, moving upon the face of the deep. Sometimes I'm the deep. But what are you waiting on? And then, oh my goodness, he got it across to me. He says, if I could not make an exception, if I couldn't produce light without the spoken word, not even for God the Father, if I could not make an exception for Him, what do you think the chances are I can make an exception for you? I need that spoken word out of your mouth. I need that word. You're not giving me what I need. And just saying it once doesn't always, the first time you just say it one time, that doesn't mean it's necessarily speaking in faith. Faith is of the heart, my brothers and sisters. It's not of the head. I used to think faith was of the head. Faith is of the heart. Sometimes it takes a while. That's why we teach confession of God's Word. Just taking a promise and saying it over and over and over again. What's going on there? You're never convincing God to do something. God wanted you blessed thousands of years before you were born. If one of the hardest lessons to learn, God is not withholding any good thing from any of us. All of those lessons of... Yes, sir. I'll go ahead and do that. When I say yes, sir, this is how I follow him through a service. I only have just a few little things here. But as he brings things to me, then my job is to follow him and not ignore them. For years and years and years, I did not understand this principle of speak. I couldn't understand it. What difference does it make for me to just spend time speaking God's Word? Finally, through this passage and others, he was able to get it across to me. God is not withholding any good thing from you, son. He said, the problem is exactly the situation here. In that area of your life, wherever the problem was, we'll just take one, for example. I'll say it this way. Our finances were dark and without form and void for many years. Great void. It was a great void. I say it this way. Money was staying away in great abundance. Okay? We were trying to learn how to obey God, how to serve God, and we didn't know much about it. And I got an instruction from the Lord one time. And he says, I want you to take three verses. I want you to start saying them with your mouth 4 hours a day. And I don't take that as a formula, okay? I hate to admit that my soul was so messed up, that I was so full of unbelief and false doctrine, that it took that level of conforming my mind to His Word to ever get me to where I could receive His blessings. But He had me take three verses. One of them was Psalms 34:10, which is, the young lions do hunger and suffer lack, but those that seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Oh, that's a good one, isn't it? And then Philippians 4:19, for my God shall supply all of your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And 2 Corinthians 8:9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, that you, through His poverty, might be rich. Well, I started, now I'm going to have to condense this down, but it took Him forever to get me to do it. I kept trying to do that, even after I heard... Yes, here we go again. See, the lesson tonight is, with the measure you esteem His Word. Up until now, we've been talking mostly about His general Word. That was a rhema word. That was an instruction for Gary Carpenter. That's why I tell everyone, don't take my instruction and apply it to yourself. It won't necessarily do anything for you to go confessing something for 4 hours a day. But that was a rhema word to me. That was an instruction. Because he knew I had all this false doctrine on the inside of me. But my brain, my logical mind, kept beating me out of that. I would go to do it. And I wrote them out on a pretty good size index card. I just wrote those verses out. And I would start getting ready to do it. I'm going to do it for 4 hours. I'd start saying them. I wouldn't make it 5 minutes. And my brain, the thoughts would start going through my mind. This is stupid. This isn't accomplishing anything. What in the world difference does it make if you speak these verses or if you don't speak these verses? It's got nothing to do with anything. It won't change anything. And it would win. I would quit. Say, oh, this is dumb. I feel like the biggest fool on earth. And I'd quit. But that rhema word, I couldn't get away from it. It would haunt me at night. It would keep coming back. I would keep thinking about it. And I'd like, I'd like to tell you that it was my great faith. No, our circumstances kept getting worse. And finally, there was just nothing else to do. I mean, I felt like I had come to the edge of bankruptcy. My toes were hanging across the cliff. One more step and we're gone. And there wasn't anything left to do. I said, okay, I might as well obey God. And I'll never forget the first time that I made it. 4 hours speaking those verses over and over and over and over again. You know, and again, those same voices coming to me. And do you know the devil will use Scripture? Did he use them against Jesus? You remember? I would hear Scripture. Think you'll be heard for your much speaking? You know? And I'm going, I don't know. I just know he told me to do this, you know. I don't know. I'm just, you know, nothing else has been working. I'm going to do this, you know. And I did it, and I did it, and I finally made it through the first 4 hours. I thought surely by the time I got home, liquid gold would have poured down from heaven, you know. Gary, did it solve the problem? No, things got worse. You know, so I did it again the next day. And once I got started, then I did pretty good. I'd do it. This went on for months. But I came home one day. Something happened one day. Now, nothing in the natural. But after several months of doing that, something happened on the inside. I came home that day. And we had a cardboard box that we kept the bills in. You know, none of y'all know anything about paying the gas bill this month and then paying the electric bill next month. Hey, y'all know, okay, none of y'all do. But anyway, we were just doing whatever we could to keep things afloat. And we had this little box, kind of a shoebox thing with the bills, and it was stacked up and overflowing. You know? I walked in. Something had changed in my heart that day. And Sue was there. I walked in. I walked right over to that pile of bills, and I said, I don't live there anymore. The best way I can describe it is like that day, it's like I had lived forever in this one room, a room of lack. That day I stepped over a threshold into a new room. I didn't know much about it yet. But I stepped over into a new room in my heart. Now nothing on the outside changed that day. But on the inside I've never been the same man since, from that day till now. Within a short time, I'm going to say less than 30 days, we were debt free. We were debt free. Everything began to change. All kinds of things began to happen. And then the ministry began to take off. God's Word changes us. God works in the earth one way. He works with words. Now, I'm going to go one more step further. This will only take another hour. Go to 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14. There's one other kind of words I want to talk about. Yes, sir. And while we're even going there, I don't know you all. I don't know your history. I don't know where you are, but the Holy Ghost knows every one of you. Yes, sir. it's not aimed at anybody. I don't know anybody hardly here. But Zig Ziglar used to say it this way. Sometimes you need to do a checkup from the neck up. Sometimes it's good to do a checkup from the neck up and also, check the hardening of the attitudes. You remember that? It's time to do a checkup of our words. You want to say, well, I don't know why God's power isn't more manifest in my life. I'll tell you what a good prayer is. A good prayer is this. Lord, help set a watch upon my lips that I sin not against thee. If you'll do, I prayed that prayer one time because it's another story, but I prayed that prayer. I said, Lord, help me set a watch upon my lips. And you know, the Holy Spirit began helping me when I would say some stupid thing, which the world normally calls intelligent. You know, Zacharias was being very intelligent according to the world. I mean, according to the world's wisdom, it was impossible. We're old and stricken with age. The world would say, good job, Zacharias. Yes, yes. God calls that a foolish report. He calls that an evil report. It's factual, but it's not truth. Amen. God's Word is truth. Jesus said, Father, Thy Word is truth. And if He says, bless God, you're going to have a baby, you're going to have a baby. Amen? You know? See? But you got to get your mouth in line with God's Word. So I prayed that time. I said, God, help set a watch on my lips. I didn't even realize. Oh, God, I want to tell Him that one.
In the early days, okay, now there's my wife right over there. She's a witness of this. In the early days, so I thought, I was just such a hot rod, you know, in those early days when you know everything. And I said, all right, Sue, I said, let's just make this agreement. I said, every time that either one of us says anything opposite to the Word of God, the other one will say, I agree with you in Jesus' name, and it'll be just that way. Said, well, okay, we'll just make that agreement. And I was just sure I was going to win every day, you know. I mean, I did not know. I would say I'd come in like saying some real spiritual thing like, my back is killing me. She'd go, I agree with you in Jesus' name. No, I don't want that. No, I'm sorry. I said, look at this in the paper. I'm telling you, we're going to go broke. I agree with you. No. I was astounded how much was coming out of my mouth. I didn't even realize it. Well, this other incident was many, many years later. I thought I knew better, but I had fallen into a pattern again. And I said, Lord, set a watch upon my lips that I might not sin against Thee. And it is amazing. Without the participation this time, I would say some wonderful factual thing that is not the truth of God's Word, just like Zacharias. And the Holy Spirit would bring it to my attention. I said, oh God, I repent. That's not what you said. That's not your promise to me, is it? How did I start thinking like the world again? How did I just start talking like a normal human? Y'all do know you're not human, right? I didn't get enough amens. Y'all, see, really, we ought to lock the doors, pull all these blinds, because meetings like this are for aliens only. Well, that life on the inside of you did not originate on this planet. You know, we're children of the Most High God. We're like ambassadors from heaven on temporary assignment here. It's really the invasion of the body snatchers. God has invaded your body and snatched out that old dead spirit and put a spirit of God on the inside of you. You're not a normal human. You're an invader from another world. You know, these bodies, that's an earth suit. It's camouflage. Those poor, unsuspecting unbelievers down the street, they see you walking up to them, they think you're just a normal human like them. They don't know you're an invader from another world. Come to snatch them into heaven, you know? 1 Corinthians 14. I've mainly here been talking about us getting our words in your known language in line with what God said. And if you don't, I hope Gabriel never has to come. To shut our mouth. Sometimes I think we'd be a lot better off if he would, you know. All right? But now I want to talk about another kind of tongue, another kind of words, and this is the kind that the Holy Spirit brings. And Jesus himself, I'll just be honest with you, I was raised Southern Baptist. Thank God for the Baptists. Like Pastor Dave says, if it wasn't for the Baptists, where would we get our people, you know? I mean, they will work the town, you know, they'll get people saved. But I was raised, tongues is of the devil. Tongues has passed away. Miracles has passed away. Healings has passed away. About the only thing they had left was a preacher and missionary, you know, and Sunday school teacher. And that was about the only callings left, you know. And that's the way I was raised. But yet when I really came back to the Lord, when Sue and I came back to the Lord, the guy that led us to the Lord, he was one of these tongue talkers. And we also saw manifestations of power. I never saw a devil cast out till I saw him cast out one. This was a real devil. This little woman weighed about 110 pounds. These other guys had been trying to handle her. She ripped the steel door, a metal door. She ripped the steel door off the church building. Weighs about 110 pounds. They called me. Do you know anything about casting out devils? No, but I know someone who does. So we got Michael, the guy that led us to the Lord, to go. And we wanted to go with him. He says, fine, under one condition. Don't help me. Because we were novices. We didn't know what we was doing. He says, you can go and you can pray, but you can't help me. He says, don't say anything. Don't do anything. Just pray. You know. So we went, and there was about, I don't know, 7 or 8 of us that went. When we saw the manifestations, I don't know if you've ever been around one when a real devil is cast out. Trust me, we did not want to help him. Oh my God, it went on for hours. But she literally got free. And it was like a different human being. Anyway, but I digress. I was raised to believe there was no such thing as speaking with other tongues. You know, I believed in the Holy Ghost. I believed the Holy Ghost would come and all of this. And I thought I had all the Holy Ghost when I got saved. Well, Scripture doesn't really bear that out. And I started studying for myself. I found out Jesus said, believers in my name, they'll speak with tongues. I found out that Peter spoke with tongues. I found out that in the 120 that spoke with tongues on the day of Pentecost, Jesus' mother was there. Mary spoke with tongues. I said, my goodness. Then I got over to this 1 Corinthians 14, and Paul says, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. He says, I would that you all spake with tongues. And at the end of it, he says, forbid not to speak with other tongues. And I went, well, they sure forbid it in the church I went to. So I finally had to make a choice. And I have all of my studies available at, we have a website called, it's just GaryCarpenter.org. GaryCarpenter.org. Everything there is free. I'm not directing you there to make any money. I have nothing for sale. Everything we have is available for free. If you scroll down near the bottom on the home page, there's a little button thingy or something you click there that says the Holy Spirit. And I have like three or four lessons there of the very things I went through in the New Testament to study it for myself to see if this was real or not. I found out it was, got filled, and I speak with other tongues. I highly recommend it. Now, we're talking about words, the words of God, okay? Let's just look at a few verses here. Now, we have lots we could teach forever on this. Notice in verse 2, he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. No man understands him. Howbeit in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. All right, there's a couple of things let's glean from this. When you're speaking in this kind of a tongue, we're speaking in these tongues, are you talking to other people? Who are you talking to? Your spirit speaking directly to the Spirit of God. Spirit to spirit communication. You might make a reference, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. In fact, hold your place here. Let's go there. I want you to see this. You may not have ever been taught this before. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We'll start in verse 12. Paul is writing to these Corinthians that he led this group to the Lord himself. He says in this letter, you have not many fathers, but I am your spiritual father. He led these people to the Lord. Now notice verse 12, he says, now we have received not the spirit of the world. And you notice how that's a little s? And that's correct. What is the spirit of the world? When you first get born of your mother's womb, there's a spirit on the inside of you. It's passed down to you from the first man, Adam. That's that spirit that went from life to dark. It's that candle that's out. The light it's darkness. It's very often called darkness. So if some might call it a sin, it's the spirit of the world. Every baby on earth is born that way. Now they're innocent. Don't get me wrong, they're innocent. If a baby dies, it goes straight to heaven. Don't get me wrong. It's innocent. But it does not born with that nature of God. Yes, that's a good way to put it. The Adamic nature passed down by the law of Genesis every generation. See, that's why the devil thought he had mankind locked up forever. Because you can't get a savior from a spiritually dead gene pool. Every human born has that nature. How could any of them be the savior? Every one of them is born guilty. They're born with that sin nature. That's why God had to impregnate the earth with life. I wouldn't used to have died on the mountain. You know, it says, choose the mountain you're willing to die on. There was a time when I didn't think the virgin birth was all that important. I'll die on that mountain now. If Jesus wasn't born of a virgin, we're all lost. Amen. If he wasn't born, that's the method God chose to get life. Jesus, if you'll allow me, was a seed with life on the inside of him. God seeded the earth again with life through that Virgin Mary. And if he would have come from Adam through the loins of a man, he could not have been the Savior. He'd have been born dead like the rest of us. But he wasn't born dead. He was born alive. Glory to God. I'm going to get this man running here now in a minute. I'm telling you, God is smarter than the devil. God is smarter. The devil thought he had man locked up, but God figured out a way to reseed the earth with life again. That's good stuff, my brothers and sisters right there. I love that. So anyway, when he says, now we have received, it means now that we're born again. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. And notice how it's a little s? And that's correct. They got it right in this passage. That's not right there talking about the Holy Spirit. He's saying when you got born again, God regenerated that spirit on the inside of you. It was the spirit of the world, but He regenerated you. He took you from death to life. And that spirit on the inside of you now is the spirit which is of God. You are born of God. And because of that, He says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. Why? That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Man, you... in your margin, you might want to write inheritance. That's what he's talking about there. Everything that belongs to you as a child of God, you can understand it and know it now. Not mentally first, spiritually first. He talks about that in the same passage. He says, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but notice, but which the Holy Ghost teaches. See, when I come here to teach, hopefully I'm teaching you the things that I have been taught by the Holy Ghost. See? It's the Holy Ghost that really the body of... He's the teacher of the body of Christ. Comparing spiritual things with spirit. This Holy... because you're born again, the Holy Spirit now can come and communicate with you spirit to spirit. God the Holy Ghost. Let me ask you this. How many of you think you could make it if God would become your teacher? I think so. Holy Ghost becomes God. The Holy Ghost will come and communicate and teach you spirit to spirit. Let's talk. See, let's go on a little more. I don't want to leave this yet. And he's comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now, the natural man, he receives not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him. Why? His candle is out. He doesn't have the nature on the inside. He has no capacity to know it. Neither, in fact, they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them. Drum roll, applause. Why? Because they are spiritually discerned. This right here is why we have 97 flavors of Christianity on every corner. Man's arrogance. Trying to understand an infinite God with a limited mind. That's the problem. God never intended to understand these things mentally first. Yes, you get to where you understand them. Have I been doing a pretty good job communicating? But I didn't get them that way first. They are spiritually discerned. They are received in your spirit from the Spirit. By the Holy Ghost, spirit to spirit. Now go back over to 1 Corinthians 14. Whoops, I went clear to the overview of the New Testament. I got to find it again. Hallelujah. I'm getting so excited I went to maps. Hallelujah. Can y'all tell I enjoy what I do? If when you find your calling, you'll never work again another day in your life. You'll love it. Okay. He that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. No man understands him. Howbeit in the Spirit, he speaks in mysteries. What kind of mysteries? Everything that was talked about there in 1 Corinthians 2. All of the inheritance. Everything about your calling, who you are, God's plan for your life. Should I marry Bill? Should I marry Joe? Should I marry this one or that one? Am I called to be a missionary? Am I called to raise godly children? What? Everything about your life is in those mysteries. And the Holy Spirit will come and He will communicate it one on one with you. Me personally, if I'm going to spend, He used to have me spend 4 hours speaking His words in my known tongue. There is power in that. That's one method of renewing your mind. If we had time tonight, we'd go to Romans 12. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's one way you can do it. But I'll tell you, when it comes to speaking words, I will let the Holy Spirit create God's words in a language that I don't have to come up with my mind. And it says, I can communicate with Him spirit to spirit these mysteries. As my the way I see it, it's like my spirit goes into that Holy of Holies we talked about, and sits down in the chair, and there is the Holy Spirit. How does Dave say that? The well-dressed man at the chalkboard, that's the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to sit there and I'm going to pray in other tongues. And while I am praying in other tongues, he begins to teach me, to draw on the chalkboard, to explain the mysteries of God, explain my calling. Sometimes it's even more than that. You don't have to raise your hand on this. Do you ever have any bad habits? And you don't know why you keep doing that thing that you just detest? Why do I keep doing that? Maybe you'll do okay for a while, but then eventually you start again. That's usually because of some kind of stronghold or something, maybe a hurt way back there, maybe something happened, and you've never quite got over it, you know. So you compensate with something that's kind of destructive. Did you know the Holy Spirit knows about each and every one of those things? He'll also help you dig down in yourself, and eventually you'll expose that stronghold. And just like Jericho in the Old Testament, just like Ai in the Old Testament, he'll give you instructions to conquer that thing, and that pattern will be destroyed in your life forever. Then you're free to conquer more ground. Y'all having a good time?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Speak, when it talks about speaking words, yes, sir. Go to Acts chapter 2. I'm almost done, I think. Acts chapter 2. Just look at the very first time that anybody ever spoke with tongues. You know, their original outpouring, because there's one part I want you to see. Yes, sir. And I should have had you hold your place in 1 Corinthians 14, so be doing that too. Get that back again, 1 Corinthians 14. Okay. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. Now here's the verse. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. Notice, as the Spirit gave them utterance. So who gives the utterance? Holy Spirit. Hold your place there. Go over to 1 Corinthians 14 and look at verse 14. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth. My spirit prayeth. Wait a minute. Go back to Acts chapter 2. They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit, and that's a capital S. And it means the Holy Spirit, as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. But you come back over here to 1 Corinthians 14:14, and if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth. And for the longest time, I couldn't figure that out. And then finally, Pastor Dave, he broke it for us. Listen, this is what makes praying in tongues so powerful. The authority in prayer is yours. The authority is yours. The message, say the syllables, the thing being prayed, that comes from the Holy Ghost. He is so intertwined with your spirit. He creates the syllables. He gives you what to say, but it is your spirit taking control of your tongue and speaking that into the earth. See, prayers that aren't prayed have no effect. Prayer is not prayer till it's prayed. That's deep calleth unto deep. Okay, let's say that again. Prayer that is not prayed, they're only thoughts. He that speaks, when you pray, he gives you the very syllables. That's the genius of praying in other tongues. It bypasses our intellect. You don't have to know. You don't have to. I keep telling everyone, quit trying to figure it out and just go pray it out. Let the Holy Ghost speak those mysteries. He knows the plan of God. If you'll allow Him, He creates the utterance. Isn't that what it says? He gives the utterance for your spirit to pray. He creates it. It happens on the fly. It happens. That's why at first I had such a hard time speaking with other tongues. See, when I speak in English like I'm doing now, I pretty well know ahead of time before, you know, just I know right ahead what I'm going to say. I know what I'm going to say. When I'm speaking in tongues, it's not like that. I don't know what's coming. My mind, it doesn't like it either. Still doesn't like it. It doesn't like being left in the dark. You know, my mind, it's like this. Picture that Holy of Holies again. There is a Holy of Holies on the inside of you. Every time that you go pray in tongues, your spirit is allowed in there, because your spirit is created, righteous, and holy. So it's like your spirit goes in that curtain, goes in with the Holy Ghost to be taught. So they're in there. Your mind, your soul, it wants to go in there. It's not allowed in there. It has to pull up a chair right outside the curtain. I mean, if here's the curtain, you know, and it can hear my spirit and the Holy Ghost having a good time in there. It hears all this and it goes, I don't know what's going on. You know, you think 2 hours surely has gone by? 5 minutes? Oh, God. And the soul is going, you know, your mind is going, I should have brought Field and Stream. I should have brought a magazine. Can we go to the movies now? You know, oh God, how long are they going to stay in there? The understanding at that moment is unfruitful because it is your spirit being taught by the Holy Ghost. But here's the amazing thing. Once your spirit gets it, whatever that particular revelation is, it's like your spirit comes to the curtain and it goes, soul, you still out there? Yeah, I'm still here. Check this out. And suddenly, you may have a little mini vision. You may have a revelation. One minute you didn't know, then you know. And you don't know how you know, but you just know that you know. But somehow, He gets it across to you. And you know, at that moment, even your soul likes it. Goes, yeah, I kind of like this praying in tongues. Until you start doing it again. And then it's like, oh God, I'm bored, you know. I highly recommend do a checkup from the neck up first. Ask the Holy Spirit to set a watch upon your lips. Let's change the English first. Let's change the English. Make sure that what we're saying, even though it may be factual, does that line up with what God has promised? Okay? I could have said all kinds of factual stuff that would have been, my mouth would have been a tool of the devil reinforcing what he was already doing in our daughters' lives. We could have let our mouth speak facts, but we chose rather the truth of God's Word. Only spoke the truth. And sure enough, God changed our facts to conform to His truth. Then I also highly recommend, if you're able to speak with other tongues, start spending time on purpose, allowing those words to come from your mouth. That every prayer created by the Holy Ghost is just as much a Word of God as anything you hold in your lap. It is His plan. It is holy. It's just exactly like that angel that brought the message to Zechariah. They didn't have the Holy Ghost. The angel had to bring it to them. Don't be sitting around waiting for Gabriel. He's probably not coming. Because you have something better. You don't have an angel coming. You got God the Holy Ghost coming. He's the one that's come. It's better than an angel. Remember, the least in the kingdom of God is greater than John the Baptist. Amen? All right.